This King of the Nerds recap is sponsored by NatureBox. NatureBox ships great-tasting, wholesome snacks right to your door. Forget the vending machine. Start snacking smarter with wholesome, delicious treats like dark cocoa almonds. Support the podcast by getting a free NatureBox sampler box at naturebox.com/RHAP. That's right. Free NatureBox snacks are found at naturebox.com/RHAP. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who's the Ra's al Ghul of podcasting. I'm Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our King of the Nerds coverage. Season 3, Episode 3 is in the books, and we have a lot to talk about in the rise and fall of Todd the Bod. And it wasn't so much a rise. It was more of just he was there and then a fall. For Todd, and here with me to talk about it all are two men who are podcasting from cardboard boxes inside of bodies of water. First, let's bring to you he's our chief King of the Nerds blogger here on Rob Has a Podcast. Please welcome Mr. Brendan Noel.
Parallelograms.
Yes. And with us, as always, is the man who knows more about King of the Nerds than any other person that I know. Here is Mr. Mark Solera.
Unless you're a carpenter, you don't really need geometry.
Yes, that's true. Do you know a lot about geometry, Mark?
That was the one math class in high school that I got an A in.
Oh.
So I'm actually really happy that I actually knew every the theorems and what to do there. It was really exciting.
I thought you were starting off like Caitlin. You would say that was the one class you didn't take.
That was the reverse Caitlin.
Reverse Caitlin.
I'm the reverse Caitlin. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So it was a fun episode tonight. Probably the most drama that we've seen here through three episodes in season three. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I don't think, like, going back to the last two seasons, I mean, we can talk about the Zach fights and the amount of crazy in those, but like, in terms of sheer scope, I don't think we've ever seen as big a fight as the one we had tonight, where basically everybody was involved in some way or another, even if it's people like Ben just trying to keep the peace. It was a big blowout, I think.
I mean, the first thing that came to mind was maybe the Danielle and Josh fight from season one, but that didn't involve everyone.
That was pretty isolated.
Yeah.
This was like the first actual fight that involved maybe a good majority of the cast.
Were you guys sad to see Todd go, or would you rather have stayed in the house and created more drama? Start with Brendan.
I definitely wanted Todd to stay around. Yeah, I thought that we were definitely, there was potential to him. I think that we were only scratching the surface of the drama, the energy that he was bringing to the house. We saw, you know, in the throne room, he has these prepared speeches that even when he's theoretically apologized to everybody, he's still just sort of bringing all the tension back. And I think that he stayed around, that would have created some much needed, I think, turmoil on the blue team.
Yep. Mark, you sad to see him go?
I'm sort of sad to see him go because he seemed to be one of the people on the show that I honestly thought could have brought a lot of personality to the show. I mean, we have people like Caitlin who come across as like a game bot type person. I mean, at least he's trying to play to the camera and show that while this is a competition, it's also about having fun.
Yeah.
He really did seem like he was having fun.
I think that Todd is a little bit like the real life version of like the bad guy from The Incredibles. Like he's just, he's trying really hard just to be the villain, but he's not really an effective villain other than when he's yelling at girls.
No, which is not the best type of villain I think we want.
Yeah. Not really the best way to get into it. All right, so I hate to bury the lead. Let's just talk about this big confrontation that we had, and then we'll talk about, you know, some of the stuff from the competitions from the night. So we had where Team Huluvu, of course, they lose the competition, and they're deciding who's going to go in. And, you know, for him, it's sort of a big discussion that's going to go on. He wants to see Lily go in because he feels like she was the most useless in this task, while he was very effective in painting the boats and fanning the boats. somehow, which he says he did for 3 hours, even though it was only a 2-hour challenge. And so they end up all, when he walks out of the room, yeah, it's 100% Todd, right? We don't even need to talk about it. And then Caitlin very bluntly just tells him that it's him. Mark, can Caitlin, who refuses to be, you know, use the alliance, that can her bluntness be effective for her in this game?
I'm actually, can we talk about the entire bluntness of the entire team Hulavu?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember a team being this blunt about who's going to go into a nerd off.
No, I don't think so either. I can't remember a time where the team just sort of said to the person, like, well, it's going to be you. Like, you know that, yeah. Right? And they were just kind of like, no, like, what? Like, let's talk about this then. He clearly did not seem to be ready for that.
Yeah, absolutely not. And he just finds out about it and he sort of flips out. And one of the things that we saw in this episode, we learned about this love connection that Lily has a thing for Ben. Are you buying this, Brendan?
I'm not so sure. There's clearly flirting, you know, she's talking about like, oh, are you just a pretty face when they're doing the challenge? I don't know if it's a real love connection. I feel like we probably would have been exploring that a little more if it was something real. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that's just like people having fun when they're doing this. So I'm not buying that.
Just having fun, talking about bacteria, whatnot.
Yeah, it's what you do. You talk about skin microbiota and peer reviewing essays. It's all good fun at Nirvana.
Yeah. And so he really singles out Lily and then he goes off and confronts her and just starts like just opening fire on her and really gets into quite the rant that he goes after her. Mark, what were some of the highlights of the rant?
Brendan, do you have the quote about Cersei Lannister? I don't want to botch this.
Well, he said that so she's good. I believe the quote was, she's just like Cersei Lannister. She's a two-timing backstabbing bitch. Something along those lines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was harsh.
That was really harsh.
Yeah. What do we think? Is Lily like a Cersei Lannister?
Oh, anybody who watches Game of Thrones know that Lily is no Cersei Lannister.
Well, is Ben her brother?
Ooh.
Ooh, that's a very good question.
That could be like an episode 5 or 6 twist coming up here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's Bran getting pushed out the window in this case? Is that Todd?
Yes.
Todd got pushed out the window.
I don't know. Watch the spoilers.
Sorry, it's episode 1.
Some people didn't see the first episode, maybe.
I'm sorry for spoiling episode 1 of Game of Thrones, everybody. Got 4 years to watch it.
Okay. I don't know if there's a big overlap in the Venn diagram of people who are listening to King of the Nerds podcast and also have not watched one episode of Game of Thrones.
It's probably a fair thing to say, yes.
I'm sure we'll hear in the comments.
Well, the one person who hasn't will find me and will never let it go on Twitter. So apologies in advance to that person.
Yeah. And so then it turns into like a whole big thing. It's like, this is like where the bench is clear. And now everybody comes in. I think probably the closest we've seen like this in recent memory is like after it was the 3rd episode of Survivor San Juan del Sur, where it's like John Rocker is like getting into it with everybody at the challenge. Right now, everybody from both teams comes in to yell at Todd.
Pretty much everybody in some way or another. I think like Rachelle was obviously very defensive of, and Amanda as well, saying like, this is really not cool. And like you said, yeah, it's really unfair of him to be singling out Lily. I don't really know why she's kind of the focus of all of his scorn. It's confusing to me as well.
I was about to ask that. What did Lily do?
I don't know. Maybe he has a thing for Lily and he feels jilted.
Possible she's in his 60. Yeah.
She's in the 60.
Well, another question I had was, what did Todd do to piss off the blue team so much? That kind of confused me. That like it felt like from minute one of this episode, it was established that Todd was the weak link on House Hulavu. And was that really clearly explained? Or am I just, was I tuning that out?
I don't think that there was one specific thing. I think that they've made comments, though, in the previous episodes where he's like easily distracted and he's like, he's not in the alliance, so he's not part of the clique, which is the secret 6 here. So he's sort of an easy mark with that, and I think he just doesn't really fit in with the group. What, would you say that's the case, Mark?
I would say that's the case, yes.
Poor Todd.
Yeah, I guess I know that's what I was thinking. I guess that's fair if you want to say he's easily distracted and things like that. And much as I, of course, did not agree with how he he dealt with the tension with Lilia, I still felt bad that he was kind of ostracized because of the alliance.
Should we become friends with Todd?
I don't know, because then we're on the outside of the Secret Six. I think we need to make friends with the Secret Six. We need to be game bot mode like Caitlin. We need to get right in with Jonathan and Amanda and Heather, and we're going to go make it the Secret Nine.
I think one of the people on the show that's becoming one of my favorite characters, if maybe not almost at the top of the power rankings for me, has to be Heather. Yes. She's really coming into her own. To me, she reminds me she's like a 23-year-old Chaos Cass. What do you think of that, Brendan?
That's fair. She was the MVP of this episode. She was getting a ton of confessionals. Like, I think Brittany Haynes on Big Brother have we seen just like that big good of a hitting rate on confessionals in an episode. She was fantastic tonight.
Yes. She was hitting at a rate higher than 80-20.
Absolutely.
She was like a 90-10 tonight, if not higher.
Who would have thunk it?
No, she's really been, one of the fun characters this season. Like, she's between when she's calling Jonathan the P-word, when she's...
wasn't that a great soundbite?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she's going off on Todd through the whole thing. I mean, she is gold in the confessionals.
I mean, the first like soundbite of this episode was her talking about her sexuality. Like,
that was so amazing. Previously on Kate and Her, did you guys know that I'm mostly gay? I love that they led with that. Like, yeah, that's the most important critical piece of information. That if you didn't see it from last week, Heather is mostly gay, everybody.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Are you guys finding that they're still trying to push the sexuality envelope on this show more so than in the other seasons? Like, especially when we had like the woman with the grapes with Bobby, is it just me or is it they oversexing King of the Nerds?
That was a little suggestive. I don't know. I didn't view that as deliberately sexual as the conversation last week. I mean, I was mostly distracted by that scene just because, like, I was kind of happy that they finally gave Bobby Carradine something to do. I mean,
yeah.
At first I thought, like, in the past that they were kind of not giving him something because he's always seemed a little stilted. And maybe that's just in comparison to the fact that Curtis is so, like, energetic and clearly passionate for the show. But I thought he was really good in his performance eating the grapes here. And I hope they give him more stuff like that to do because he's clearly capable.
Yeah, he's usually the straight man, but maybe he wanted to go for it if it was, like, you know, hanging out with an attractive woman, that he was up for that. He would be wacky for that.
Yes. He's like, oh, okay, I'll do that. Yeah.
Yes. Like, I got this one.
step aside, Curtis.
Yeah.
Get the week off.
All right. Let's talk about the challenges from the episode. And this was Ancient Cultures Week. Mark, did that speak to you as a fan of King of the Nerds, Ancient Cultures Week?
It was unique, to say the least. But as a nerd, I know a lot about ancient cultures. It's just some of this stuff kind of flew over my head.
Mm-hmm. It seems like we had the first Nerd Off this season, which was about all of the manga stuff. But the last 2 weeks, it's been not anything nerdy at all when it comes to what the Nerd Off is going to be.
Yeah, last week the Nerd Off was the riddles. And they sort of put a medieval twist on it, which, you know, there are Renfair nerds. Jonathan on this show is a Renfair nerd, but that's definitely, like, even for, like, the niche subcategories of nerd culture, I think that, yeah, the Renfair and this week with the Greek myths and things, I thought we were definitely going with the deep cuts here.
Yeah. Are they just out of stuff to talk about, Mark?
I'm hoping not, but hopefully, like, the later episodes, they have something. Like, they've approached mangas, but they could go towards something like a comics. You could do a whole, like, math thing. There's a bunch of different nerd topics that you could approach that hopefully that we aren't scraping the bottom of the barrel with stuff like this.
Well, do you guys think that maybe they've made some of these competitions less nerd focused or less, at least, like, fanboy focused on, like, certain, like, you know, whether it's comics or sci-fi or things like that, to be more sort of like general trivia that we have the likes of guys like Colby, people like Caitlin? Do you think that that's what they're going for, Mark?
I think it's definitely possible because, like I said, I think that somebody like Colby, I don't know if he has a sort of a specialty. You know, he's just sort of an all-purpose trivia buff. So I think that's definitely a possibility that they're trying to make it slightly more fair. I don't know if catering to one person is the definition of fairness, but and given that, like, Colby's kind of been under the radar the whole season so far, it's clearly not really working to the effect of anybody, but it's possible that that's what's happening.
And they're also giving a lot of focus on like, hey, we need this time to study, and stuff like riddles and like Greek mythology, that's stuff you could study. But earlier stuff like the mangas, you typically would have to at least read some of the mangas to understand some of the questions that could possibly come up. So yeah, I really do think that they're possibly making it more broad to allow for people like Caitlin or Colby, who aren't exactly into, like, let's say, like mangas, to have a fighting chance in these nerd-offs.
All right, so in this Nerdgotta challenge, this was really sort of like a backyard version of a Survivor challenge of, you know, assemble a boat, go out in the boat, you know, paddle out, which, you know, I really think that this is a Survivor challenge that they've done. Like, we're going to drop off the materials at your beach, make a boat, and then you're going to race on the boat that you make. Although the materials weren't made of cardboard and duct tape. And then after you collect the, you know, the clues, then you'll unlock a crate with puzzle pieces, and then you have to like get the combination to a lock. So it really was like a Survivor challenge that you could imagine like somebody doing in their backyard.
The most stereotypical Survivor challenge ever, but in a swimming pool at a cheap motel.
All we needed was like a rope to cut, and then like a flap to like drop down.
Raising flags. Yeah. If the combination at the end raised the team flag, it would have been right out of Survivor.
Yeah, Mark, what do you think about this? I mean, this did not seem like it was a super King of the Nerds-like challenge, would you say?
It wasn't, but at the same time, I'm not exactly mad at the challenge producers for having a challenge like this. It brought like another element to the show, because we were so used to having challenges where there's like a panel where we're relying on the judges to actually bring something. Here it's, all right, there's a goal. You need to, whoever wins, you need to be the first one at the goal. So I'm actually really excited that they actually brought a challenge like this to the table.
Okay. Well, Brendan, can you estimate in dollars the cost of this challenge for production?
I'm going to say that somehow in the end of this, TBS owed them money, given how much this looked like it cost.
Yeah.
Again, I think that they probably just needed to rent out this swimming pool for the day. The cost of, I don't even know, maybe the cardboard didn't cost money. They could have gotten the cardboard out of a dumpster. Who knows?
Yeah, I just hope they recycled it. That's all I hope.
It looked like from how the boat's conditioned by the end of that challenge, there was probably nothing they could do with the material but recycle it.
Yeah. All right. So the two teams went with the different approaches on making the boat. Brendan, could you tell us about the approach of Team Smash?
So Team Smash's approach to building their boats were one of the materials they got, the primary materials were cardboard and duct tape. They also got other sort of smaller materials. And their main strategy was to use wood glue to put the boats together.
Ooh.
And yes, and as we saw that, I don't think that was to their advantage, really. Their boats were, was it their boats that ended up being better than the Huluvu boats, or was it the opposite?
It was opposite.
Yeah, I feel like the Huluvu boat, which was simpler and, they didn't really
Plastic duct tape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just try to, like, the bottom of the orange juice container. Even though one of them did sink, I feel like they did get through the course quicker. But, you know, my Captain Loophole type brain almost feels like if the challenge was, then you could have just, as long as you took your boats with you, I mean, part of me might have said, like, would you be better off just to jump in the water and just drag the thing across and get the pieces? I mean, how big was the pool?
I think so, given the fact that, like, Ben was clearly falling out of the boat at the end. And I remember thinking, like, are they going to make him go back to the start? And they didn't. So that's what I thought, too, is, like, it didn't really matter what condition your boat ended up being in, because if you could just drag it with you to the end.
Yeah, I would have been like, oh, my boat sunk. Oh, let's just drag the boat across.
Oh, no.
Who knows what the, you know, producers might have said behind the scenes. Because especially like once the oars just turned into sticks, it seemed like there, you know, wasn't very much that you could do. So, all right, who took the lead for Huluvu here, Mark?
If my memory serves me right, wasn't it Ben? Like, it was either Ben or Caitlin that really took the lead for this challenge.
And then it was Jonathan for Smash, right? Because he was the mathematician and they had to have like a math problem in there, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And fun fact for this boat challenge, if you wanted to, the complete irony here was the fact that Team Smash's boats were named, had the names Jacob and Thomas on it.
Yeah, I noticed that the USS Thomas, and I didn't see it in the episode, but Heather tweeted it out that it was the HMS Jacob. That was a nice tribute.
Yes.
And the complete irony is that didn't both of them sink?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wah, wah. Very unlucky. Now, you had to get one person that you were going to sit out of the challenge or have them on the outside. Do you think, did production come up with this rule because that they wanted to keep it, you know, four, two people in each boat? Or was production like, oh yeah, this is probably not going to work with Todd out here? What do you think, Brendan?
I don't know. That's a good question because it did not help Colby's sort of under the radar status now through three episodes to again have him just on the sideline cheering on this challenge. It is possible that that was a factor. I mean, Todd is certainly a larger gentleman, and who knows what would have happened if they were trying to fit however many people in the boats on each team. So it could have also just been a numbers thing if they thought that putting three people in a boat and two people in another one, if that just didn't work out with the math. So who knows?
Did you guys think it's ironic that the guy named Ori is really bad at making oars?
How dare you? Those oars were spectacular. Heather instructed him how to make them very easily. You need a thing and then another thing. How much clearer could she have been with the instructions?
Look, it won him the challenge.
Yeah.
It won him the challenge.
You can't knock him too bad.
It's great oars. So Hulu ends up getting through the challenge much quicker, but Team Smash makes up ground and they feel like they have an edge because of Jonathan's math skills. And they get to all of these geometry questions. However, Jonathan is really struggling with this. And here comes Colby, who is the hero this week, Brendan.
He is. Yeah, I got to give him credit for, you know, he was running around the sidelines and not actually in the pool. But I believe he was the person who noticed that they were the order that they were coming in was NERDS for the sort of angles they were solving for. And that was to put them in the order for the lock.
Yeah. And they got it, and they end up swimming back with their cardboard
scraps
in tow. Yes. So this week, again, it's Team Smash. This is a hot streak for Team Smash, Mark.
And honestly, at least from my TV dollar, Team Smash kind of has the better personalities on the show, so I'm actually really happy to keep these guys intact. Get rid of the other team, as far as I'm concerned. Let's just have Team Smash.
All right, Team Smash is going. And there's some talk, again, after last week we had the announcement of the Secret Six, but it seems like there's still some resistance to the Secret Six. And Jonathan is the one that he's like, it's really, is it working? I don't know. Mark, why is Jonathan not comfortable with this alliance?
There's a lot of people that are very uncomfortable with this alliance. Jonathan this week, last week it was Ben.
I thought it was so confusing to me that, last week Ben was on the outsides and not into it, and Jonathan was basically like one of the ringleaders of this alliance, and now this week Jonathan's like, I don't know, maybe we should cut Ben. Like, what?
Yeah, Jonathan's like, oh, the whole thing's falling apart.
The opening scenes, like, it was said that Jonathan was the person behind making the Secret Six, and now he's questioning it. I'm really confused on what's going on here.
Yeah. It has to take like a pretty impressive display of gameplay to botch this kind of alliance, considering they have like a free pass for 4 weeks. You know, it would take something as drastic as, oh, I don't know, Jonathan deciding to blow up the alliance for no reason.
Yeah,
it would be almost of a case of overthinking it, like thinking five moves ahead when you have this perfect plan. You have a way to get to X amount of weeks of safety, but yet
too comfortable, maybe.
Well, here's the potential fly in the ointment. What happens if Team Smash wins again next week? Who goes into the Nerd Off, Brendan?
Who is on Team Smash that is not in the alliance? Because we have Jonathan.
Team Smash wins. Huluvu is going to send two people into the Nerd Off.
So the people who are not in the alliance on Team
I will spot
Huluvu.
You, Caitlin.
Yes, Caitlin is not in the alliance. And that's is there it. One other person, or is that it? Are they going to? So there's a possibility that, you know, and again, Caitlin has been dominant the last 2 weeks. I would not put it past her to win her another Nerd Off next week if that's what happens. And they're at risk of losing an ally. So they're going to have to find a way for Smash to lose the challenge.
Well, now, if the Secret Six is really a good alliance, I think then What the Secret Six needs to do is have Team Smash throw the challenge this next week, because they still have two people that are not in the Secret Six in Colby and Ori, and have them fight it out and at least have six of the people move into the final eight.
I wonder if the Secret Six, at least the Secret Sixers on Team Smash, would be sort of dastardly enough, I wonder, to screw them over right then and there and immediately take it down to a Secret Three or however many people, Secret Four on the, or no, yeah, Secret Three.
Yeah, Secret Three.
But
yeah.
I almost see no chance that that's going to happen, where you have a guy like
so.
No.
Jonathan isn't going to throw the challenge but to keep with the alliance. But strategically, that would be the right move, right?
I think it would be. I think that it might be. I think people are going to decide that it's a little too soon for a move like that. That would be really chaotic, even more so than this week.
I mean, I don't understand why have a six-person alliance and not take it as far as you can take it. I mean, there's 9 people in the game this week, right? It's mm-hmm. They start with 10. So, or it started with 11.
They start off with 12 because Jacob was the first person to go that.
Yeah, they're down to 9 after tonight.
Okay,
yeah.
So they have 9 tonight. So, yeah, why not? Yeah, because you have 6 and you have 3 that aren't in the alliance as we're trying to work through all this. Yeah, why not get it down to where you have 6 out of the 8 people still in the alliance?
Let's say that the Team Smash decides, you know what, we're not going to throw this, right? Who from Team Hoovly would go against Caitlyn in that case? I'm very curious to see who would...
Who's the perceived weak link?
Yeah, what's the scenario? Who's the person that's going to go in to face Caitlyn?
I guess at that point, they sacrifice Ben. They're willing to cut him.
Hmm. Because
I agree that it's yeah. not an ideal situation to start just letting the Hulu people go and trying to eat away at their alliance. They should stick with the 6.
I'm actually generally curious if the 6 is just like a cover up for the 4 women. Because if that's the case, maybe it's possible that the women just decide, you know what?
I think that's much more likely what we see is yeah. we get down to 6, the 4 women yeah. cannibalize Jonathan and Ben.
Yes, but yeah. does Lily have a thing for Ben? Is this like a Survivor fans versus favorites where you have the, you know, Parvati, Suri, and, you know, Natalie and Alexis, and they have like the women's thing, but they want to blindside Ozzy and now they can't tell Lily?
I've listened to multiple podcasts and I will crush any rumors right now. I'm pretty sure Lily is taken and I'm pretty sure Ben's taken.
Doesn't matter.
It's spreading. Yeah. Who's stopping?
Showmance. Who's stopping yeah. him? You're right. Yeah.
The heart wants what the heart wants.
True.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. My bad.
We'll have to see that going forward if these sparks continue to develop, and that could really that is the $64,000 question, I think, is yeah. if Billy is throwing a wrench in this.
So who's still on Hulubu? It's Caitlin, Ben, Lily, and who's the fourth person there?
Rochelle.
The fourth person is Rochelle.
Rochelle. Okay. And she's been a little bit under the radar here.
But hey, for King of the Nerds, being under the radar does typically maybe lead you to a possible crown at the end.
Yeah, I guess so.
The last two winners have been very, very under the radar.
Yeah, Rochelle, she was pissed off at Lily during the cosplay challenge. She didn't have a lot to do here tonight.
Not so much. She was kind of peripherally in the fight, but everybody was, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so we know that Todd is going into the Nerd Off, and we talked about all of the things that happen when he goes off on Lily, but it comes time for Team Smash to pick the other person to go into the Nerd Off, and there are a lot of dissenting opinions about this. Of course, Jonathan is saying that the alliance is over. What's his alternative plan, Mark? Who does he want to get rid of?
Was it Ben?
I'm pretty sure it was Ben, but...
What?
At the same time, I don't disagree with Jonathan. That probably would have been the correct move to if you're thinking for yourself and not the alliance.
I think it's only a correct move if it pays off, the odds of which are low. Like I was saying earlier, yeah. I think it could have been a really interesting move in terms of the entertainment value for the show. Mm-hmm. You blow up, I think, a lot of people's games. It's not something that they're really expecting, but I think it's much more likely that it ends up biting Jonathan in the ass at some point along the way.
But what's the strategy here if you're on King of the Nerds? Like, if you are on Team Smash, What do you want to have happen? Do you want to throw somebody out there that is going to lose to Todd to keep Todd having a dissension in the ranks this whole time? Or are you trying to take out a person who you think is a big threat? Or do you ultimately just not care? Or are you sort of like in the Sandra, as long as it's not me?
Well, that's what's interesting, because in the past, because we've had these teams that are so tightly knit, you know, it's like on those Survivor seasons where, like a Redemption Island, where, you know, Boston Rob is keeping everybody on a separate eating schedule. And we have these teams where now suddenly the lines are blurred and people are forming these cross team alliances. And it's interesting that like Jonathan is thinking this far ahead in terms of the alliance, considering, I mean, the thing about keeping Todd around is it does create dissension on that team, but because he has allies over there, he has to think about whether or not he wants to make the game potentially more stressful or difficult, whatever you want to call it, for those people. But again, now he's thinking that maybe he wants to cut somebody like Ben on the blue team. I don't know if he does have their best interests in mind.
And honestly, in regards to sending someone into a nerd off, and if you're going to keep sending someone into a nerd off, like how the team Hulavu has been sending Caitlyn in, you have to keep in mind that if you're going to keep sending someone in and they're going to keep coming back, they're typically going to come they're going to come stronger. For example, Genevieve got sent in, what, like 6-7 times, Brendan?
Oh, and there was a number of times, and like, yeah. I think three in the row, maybe at the end. Yeah. And I agree that it really only made her better.
Iron sharpens iron.
Same thing with our friend of the podcast, Zach. You send him in so many times, he's just going to keep coming back stronger. That's something that you have to keep in mind if you're sending someone in multiple times, like Hulavu has been doing with Caitlyn.
And as we know, Caitlyn is already the most brilliant person in the history of the world. So.
Yeah,
she's very smart.
You have to keep a lot of things in mind when thinking about who to send into a nerd off like this.
Okay, so ultimately the teams make their decision. It's very quick that it is Todd, and he knows it. And then we also find out that Caitlyn is going into the nerd off. We're going to get reactions from everybody about what's going on. And I feel like that these throne room scenes have been a little bit political. And I feel like Lily is sort of leading the charge on this, of trying to be very political. Why do you guys think that is in the throne room? While feels like they almost are like trying to, bluff a little bit about the game. Do you guys see that they feel very fake in the throne room?
Absolutely. And I agree completely about Lily, that she, you know, she comes in, and I feel like she did this like the last episode as well, where she just tries to put on this brave face and how everybody's a happy family. And yeah, I don't really get that either, because I mean, Curtis and Bobby are not like the principal. Like, I don't understand why she's like trying to lie to them. Like, no, we haven't been doing anything wrong. Everything's just smiles around here. Like, I don't understand what the point of that is, considering we clearly have footage of things not going well.
Yeah, it's almost like they act really, and more so in this season than in previous seasons, like a tribal council, where it's like, all right, Lily, what's going on with the tribe? And like, oh, everything is fine. There's no alliances here. Everything is very good. And, and you know, it just seems like a little political for King of the Nerds. Like, I'm not saying that it's the wrong strategy or anything like that, but she just seems to be laying it on pretty thick.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, especially in contrast to last season where, you know, they vote some, you know, we're like, okay, well, Team Midas Touchdown, how's everything going? And Zach will just immediately chime in like, well, these bastards are all going down. So that's how it goes.
Yeah, that's more fun. Well, Todd takes a page out of that book, and he talks about how that there are cracks on Team Hulavu, and these cracks cannot be fixed with just spackle. That sometimes you need a sledgehammer, and you need to take the sledgehammer and break down those problems, and then you can build it back up, it'll be stronger. And he sees himself as the Ra's al Ghul of this, and his goal is to make House Hulavu better. Mark, did Todd inspire you with his talk of Ra's al Ghul?
I'm inspired. The thing is with these kinds of speeches, to me, as someone who's seen a lot of reality TV, typically these kinds of speeches to me scream, yeah, most likely they're kind of editing it towards a downfall of this person. Like, oh, hey, I'm gonna be in charge after I win this nerd off. Oh, I'm gonna do this. Cue a few minutes later. Oh, I lost.
It's interesting, again, after all this history of reality TV, that like nobody's learned that when you give this sort of big rehearsed speech,
yeah,
like, it's not gonna make you look good or sane.
Winner's edit.
So
it's the winner's edit, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like there had to have been some people that have won. Like, I feel like it doesn't help you, but like, I feel like it's not necessarily the rule, right?
Oh, I don't disagree that there's like, I mean, obviously there are winner quotes and there are big speeches and things like that. But I feel like somebody like Todd, where when you're putting that much thought into like a deliberate prepared statement, and again, like these metaphors about home improvement is I don't know. I think you should have seen that coming, that was not going to help his case of why the team voted him in.
Yeah. All right. Well, we find out that the challenge is going to be about Greek mythology, and we are going to start to study quite a bit about cramming for this next contest of going into the Nerd Off. Before we talk more about the Nerd Off, I do want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, which are our friends over at NatureBox, which is really ideally what you want to be taking before you go into any sort of Nerd Off, because that's going to get you thinking clearly when you're eating some nice, healthy snacks, especially when it's hectic. Isn't that ideal?
I have it on good authority that Caitlin did eat a Nature Box before her victory in this episode.
So did that sumo wrestler.
Yes.
Apparently, he had a few Nature Boxes.
Yes. Because there's over 100 nutritionist-approved snacks for Nature Box. They got something for everyone, all with zero artificial flavors, color sweeteners, no grams of trans fat, no high fructose corn syrup. There's even snacks with bold flavors that you can create without any artificial nonsense, like many of Todd's speeches that he gave tonight. And so when you hit that afternoon slump and when you're hungry and irritable, grab some of the NatureBox snacks like the Sriracha Roasted Cashews or Pistachio Power Clusters or my favorite, the Dark Cocoa Almonds. You'll get a chance to get some NatureBox for free, much like if you were going to select them from a bunch of Greek mythology memorabilia. You'll get 5 of the most popular snacks. You heard us. Free snacks. Go get your free trial starting right now at naturebox.com/RHAP. You know you're going to snack. Get smart about it with NatureBox. naturebox.com/RHAP for a free trial box of delicious snacks. All right, let's get into talking about this Nerd Off here between Todd and Caitlin. Caitlin's back in the Nerd Off for the second consecutive week. And again, I think she gets lucky here that it's not about any sort of like, you know, name that comic book or, you know, here's this thing from the Fellowship of the Ring. And she is just has to do no Greek mythology. And as she tells us, that her brain is like Velcro.
Yeah, I mean, it also helps that because Todd is not very well liked, basically everybody came to her rescue to try and help her study for this, except, of course, our good pal Ori, who decided he would help Todd, which is, I thought was great.
Yes.
Ori is becoming one of my favorite characters.
Absolutely.
He's so good.
We're in on Ori after when he, what did he say in the first episode that he said to Heather that I didn't listen to you because you're a woman?
We're not going to defend on that. We're in on Ori as entertainment value.
Okay.
Brendan, correct me. I hope you agree with this. This person, Ori, is basically if Hendrik from season one continued on the show.
I think that's partly fair, although I don't think Hendrik knew he was on a television show. So no. It's possible that, yeah, there are some similarities there.
Yeah. Okay. Ori is good TV?
Oh, he's good TV. All right.
We like good TV.
He's great TV.
Okay. So Ori is going to help. And he takes on the Colby role. We have to stop making fun of Colby because he coached somebody and they won the challenge.
Oh, it was a good run while it lasted. We were going to pull off the hat trick here, but no dice.
No. All right. So we have this challenge where we have to match up memorabilia to a different Greek god. And Todd was so funny in this challenge because he was like the magician that was like, did like the card trick and then like walked like very confidently up to like, and I believe this is your card, 8 of spades. And you're like, no, sorry, that's not my card. Like, jack of clubs. No.
Yeah, what a blowout this was for Caitlin. 4-0.
Yeah.
I believe this is the first time in history that in a Nerd Off that
somebody's just gotten no points.
Yeah. It's the first shutout.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
A pagonging in the Nerd Off?
I think that's fair to say.
Yes. Oh boy. Yeah. So Todd is going to walk out and leave. And they say, no, Todd, come back, give us a hug.
that was nice. I do like that. Yeah, this is a show where people can, you know, it's all in good fun and people can leave and be friends. You know, certainly when you have a comment like what Ori says to Heather, that, you know, again, we're not going to defend that. But I think no. that even after like the kind of fight that happened between Thomas and Lily and how we were not, you know, really keen on that, I think it was nice that just even for a minute they were able to kind of put aside their differences and say, like, come on, we're all friends here.
Yeah. It was just the heat of the moment for Todd. He did have his short fuse in that moment, but overall, you know, he was not that disagreeable during his entire time in King of the Nerds. Can we just go back to talk about the sumo wrestler for a little bit?
Shall we?
Why was there a sumo wrestler there?
Okay, now, Mark, correct me if I'm wrong. The sumo wrestler we did see, I think in the first season, they did a nerd off. Yes. It was basically like concentration.
Yes.
And I believe the sumo wrestler was in that challenge too, just as a sort of added thing of you have to get by the sumo wrestler. But like, it wasn't like the sumo wrestler was going to tackle Caitlyn to the ground. I'm like, okay, no, you forfeit your turn. Now it's Todd's turn. I mean, obviously that would have been extremely unfair. So it's interesting they decided to throw this in. I don't know.
I loved Heather during when she was talking about the sumo wrestler, because she was just talking about like, I want to feel what that's like.
Yeah. That was another great confessional of hers.
Yeah. He had a very interesting look, the sumo wrestler.
And again, can you believe the sort of amount of skin you can get away with on TBS?
Yeah, I felt like that we were really in desperate need of some blurring with the sumo wrestler.
I think I would have appreciated that.
Very distracting, the everything going on with the sumo wrestler.
More or less distracting than the Minotaur's nipples from last week.
This was more distracting. It left me very confused.
I think I agree.
Yeah. Because if you were to pause the show at a certain moment and then like, you know, like it could be very disorienting, the whole thing. Anyway, so with the sumo wrestler, though, it almost like didn't even make sense that he was there for a number of reasons. But it's like if it was like a time trial where it was like, OK, get past the sumo wrestler, get up there, find the object and then come back here and, you know, buzz in. Like sort of like almost like in the Big Brother backyard when it's like do a puzzle and then like hit the buzzer when you get it. It just like was very confusing as to what like that was just gonna like really throw you off your game, that like the sumo wrestler was like gonna like push you once.
I love Caitlyn trying to distract the sumo wrestler during this entire challenge. Just look over there, and then she runs to the other way.
Yeah, like it was, again, there was no like real obstacle to the sumo wrestler. She just sort of ran off to the side and he didn't chase after her.
Yeah. Like if he was actually like blocking something, I could understand, but they just like ran away from him and he didn't chase them.
And it was a good point you brought up that I hadn't considered, that like, yeah, kind of a bizarre culture clash to have the sumo wrestler and the like Greek mythology challenge.
Well, it's Ancient Cultures Week.
It would have made more sense during like the first week, right? Like during the manga challenge. I mean, like the anime manga type stuff. You could have had like him facing off against a Godzilla and knocking him down into like a tower or something.
I mean, you could have just had an inflatable sumo wrestler there. I mean, it's true.
That would have put up more of a
fight. They saved so much money in the Nerd War. I think they were able to spring a few extra bucks to rent the sumo wrestler for the day.
Yeah. It's almost like for one of the other things that they were renting, they were just like, hey, we'll throw in a sumo wrestler for like $20.
It was a package deal, from the extra company.
Yeah, so a sumo wrestler shows up on King of the Nerds, and there he is. Looking ahead, let's talk about, I want to do power rankings tonight.
All right. Ooh, here we go.
Who's at the top of our King of the Nerds power rankings? Who's jumping out to you, Mark?
I'm going to say Jonathan.
Jonathan, number one on the power rankings. Brendan, are you co-signing this?
I am not. I think Amanda is my number one.
Amanda is number one on the power rankings.
Amanda is pulling the strings and doing a very good job at not letting anybody figure that out.
And to me, and I'm going to counter by saying Jonathan, to me, the last three challenges, who's kind of been like in the spotlight here during the first week, he was in charge, basically. He was the one pulling the strings.
It's second true. Week, I think that's maybe where somebody like Amanda wants him. I think that's like a John Mish role.
Yeah, and second week, he was doing the twerking. I do agree that Amanda could be the one, but I have a very strong feeling that Jonathan is... He's in for the game.
Here's how we'll do this. Who's number nine in the power rankings?
Oh, here we go.
Hmm. Is it Ben?
Well,
in terms of most expendable.
Yeah. Like, who's most likely to be eliminated next week?
Are we not counting the Secret Six?
I think Colby, then.
If we're not counting the Secret Six, I'm going with Colby, too.
Yeah. Why? Do you think somebody from the Secret Six is most likely to be eliminated next week?
No, I don't. I think what he was saying is that keeping those six together, assume it's not going to be any of them. So we have to assume that it's going to be Colby next week.
Colby, not Ori?
It could be Ori. I think that they're going to see Colby's intelligence as more of a threat.
Okay. So
it honestly just depends on the nerd off, too. It could be something luck-based.
Yeah, it could be a complete toss-up.
But we would really put the chalk pick at a Ori versus Colby nerd off next week.
I would imagine so, yeah.
The prohibitive favorites for the nerd off next week.
Definitely. All right.
And then who's at number seven? Is it Caitlyn just by process of elimination that she's not in the Secret Six?
I think so, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Now it's rank the Secret Six.
Okay, now I think we have Ben at the bottom.
Ben is at the bottom.
I'm co-signing that.
Even below Lily.
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
I think Ben was even more of an add-on than Lily was.
All right.
Yeah.
Then I think we can go Lily at five then.
All right. So yes, Lily's at five. Ben's at six. All right. Give me the four. Rochelle is this high?
I think Rochelle.
Rochelle.
Yeah, it has Rochelle.
I think we can put her at four.
She's higher than Lily and Ben?
I think that she was one of the original sort of instigators of this alliance, and she was part of the Women's Alliance in the first episode. I think I could see her at four.
All right. Give me Heather, give me Amanda, and give me Jonathan. What's the order?
Okay.
Are we going on chances on winning the show?
Yes. Number one is best chance to win.
I'm just based on pure track record of previous winners. I'm going to go Jonathan, Heather, Amanda.
Jonathan, Heather, Amanda. Why?
Because the people who have been out there who have been the strongest competitors on the show typically fall. So to me, someone who's flying under the radar like a Jonathan somewhat and like Heather, who's kind of like Amanda's number two, I think those two are going to have more of a shot to win compared to an Amanda. Amanda is doing great, but where was she this episode? Maybe she started, the editors are trying to die down that, and they're, have you seen this episode? Was Jonathan heavy?
Jonathan heavy episode, Brendan. What do you say to that?
Well, this is how I'd counter that is I think you could look at a lot of episodes last season and say, where was Kayla that episode? She came out of nowhere as a winner. I think you can make the same case about Celeste in the first season.
Yeah.
What's interesting is I think that we have really similar reasons for how we do our power rankings. For me, I would go Amanda one, Jonathan two, Heather third. And I think it's for very similar reasons that I think that Jonathan, I mean, I don't know if I agree with you about being under the radar. I agree. I think that, like I was saying earlier, Amanda, I think, is really the one pulling the strings and letting Jonathan put himself to the forefront and put himself in a position, I think, to be eliminated probably in maybe the third or fourth. So it's going to depend on what the final challenge is. We don't really know what that's going to be, if it's going to be the same format as last season or if they're going to change it. So
here's my point. I'm going to say this. Let's bring it down to the final six. Let's say we're like what, episode like five or six at this point, and it's just the final six. Who is, if it's just the three and three, who is Team Hoovaloo going to go after first? Do you really think that they're not going to go after Amanda if they're sticking down to like their tribal lines?
I think they're going to go after Jonathan.
Are you sure?
I would bet on it. I think Jonathan is making himself much more of a presence in terms of an intellectual threat and sort of keeping the team together, and I think he was one of the people, like I said, who was really gung-ho on form in the alliance. I think that there are people who know that he has the potential to be a strategic threat.
But if we're gonna, if like let's say it's just those six, like there's no shakeups, right? Like Ben wanted Amanda and Heather gone right away. Like to me, if I'm thinking about the show and how this show could possibly go down, if I'm thinking that far ahead, I'm really seeing a possibility that Ben's like, we let Amanda and or Heather get this far ahead. We need to get rid of Amanda or Heather. They've done way too much damage, and they are a really strong possibility to win the show. Jonathan, he's done great, but do we really want to target him when we have like this power couple? Like, it's known, I'm pretty sure for people watching at home, it's pretty much known that Amanda and Heather are together. Why not break them up? Who's with Jonathan? So to me, I really think that Jonathan's has a really good chance, just because, like, besides the fact that he's a challenge threat, like, what does he have? Can you make an argument saying that Jonathan's the guy that they would target at the end? I mean, like, near the end.
I think it's a fair point that he's not coupled up. It's going to be, I think it's going to come down to how well the other people know that Amanda and Heather are so tight.
I'm going to go with Amanda and Heather are one and two. Jonathan's a three. Give me the people that believe in the alliance over the person who is ready to pull the ripcord on the alliance when there's nine people left in the game and he's in a six-person alliance. Because six into nine equals in, and so I don't know what he's talking about. There you go. King of the Nerds power rankings. Congratulations, Amanda.
Yes. And we'll revisit this in a few weeks when Colby wins.
All right. Yes.
Watch Colby win.
Amanda, Heather, Jonathan, Rachel, Lily, Ben, Caitlin, Ori, Colby. There's your King of the Nerds power rankings. All right, let's take a couple of quick questions here. This is from the great Mike Bloom. Says, on the whole, which do you guys prefer more? An objective challenges like this episode or subjective challenges where a panel decides the winner? Mark, you said earlier you were happy to not have a panel tonight.
I was very happy to not have a panel tonight. And I'm going to say this. As someone who watches this show almost religiously, I've seen like the last two episodes like four times each at this point. I will say the most fun I have is when there's a panel. For example, season one with Genevieve, like her reaction to Kevin Smith, right, Brendan?
It was Kevin Smith who broke her heart.
The reaction that she had, just bawling, like that's fun. But I also like seeing a different side to King of the Nerds. So challenges like this are really cool too.
Yeah, there are people who complain about the panel challenges and think they're unfair. I don't go that far, but I also agree that like after the last 2 weeks and seeing that they go through the exact same structure. Judge A votes for Team Smash. Judge B votes for Team Huluvu. We go to commercial. The third judge breaks the tie. Yeah. We basically know what's going to happen. So it was nice to see that for the third week in a row, they did something different.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel like that the editing is pretty transparent, especially when they get into the confessionals during the challenge, which is something they don't do on Survivor, which I appreciate. They do it on Big Brother a lot okay, so I knew I was down in the challenge, so I knew I had to, it was gut check time for me, or I'm not going to win this power veto. I think at the point where Team Huluvu started opening their crate, that's when I said, oh, okay, Team Smash is going to win the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
A little on the nose with the confessionals about the challenge, but minor nitpick.
It's not the strong suit of the King of the Nerds editors.
No. All right, here's a question from Taylor Cotter. She wants to know, can't we just calm down and play with some drones? Is this the anyone want to split a DiGiorno of 2015?
Oh, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
I love there's no better keeping of the peace than on King of the Nerds.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. One more question. This is from Dan Sinensky. Wants to know, who is going to be the new villain? Is it Heather, who doesn't acknowledge her anger? Jonathan, who is willing to break the alliance but is being called weak? I don't think Caitlin will be the villain as much as she will be the underdog. And Ori just seems doofy at this point. Do you think we will have a villain going forward? What do you think, guys?
I'm going to say this. If you're going to take the internet standpoint, the Secret Six is your new villain of the show. I'm really into this community. And from all the comments that I've been reading, everyone hates the fact that there's a cross-team alliance. Everyone hates the fact that, there's women running the show and then there's two other guys. If we're going to talk about villains, it's probably going to be the Secret Six.
So Colby and Ori and Caitlin are the heroes then?
I guess at this point.
Well, maybe by default. I don't think they're really the heroes. They're more kind of neutral. I mean, I definitely agree that Caitlin is not a villain, because to be a villain requires a level of caring that Caitlin is just never going to possess. So,
Caitlin.
Yeah, and I don't see Ori being, you know, I don't think it's one person. I don't know if I necessarily agree that it's like the alliance itself is this kind of evil idea, but I don't know. I think Todd might have been our best chance for an unlikely or inadvertent villain.
Okay.
I think we should approach this question at a later date. I really think whoever is going to cross this alliance first might end up being your villain for the rest of the season.
All right. It's like the Magic 8-Ball. Ask again later.
Yeah.
And we'll see. All right. So we've got a lot coming up next week on King of the Nerds. Looking ahead, did you see anything of note, Mark?
Nerd anthems are back.
Yes.
Nerd anthems are back.
So excited. I thought it was one of the worst decisions they made last season to not bring the nerd anthems back. That was such a fun challenge in season one, and I'm so excited to see it again next week.
All right, nerd anthem time next week.
While we're not going to have such things as Virgil whispering at the start of the song, I'm pretty sure we might have some great moments with people like Ori still on the show and even Colby trying to dance. I want to see the choreography from both teams at this point.
Yeah, even if you haven't seen the first season, I encourage you go to YouTube and search mm-hmm. the King of the Nerds nerd anthems and watch them both because they are great.
Yeah, they're phenomenal.
They're so funny.
All right. Well, excellent job again this week breaking down the latest episode of King of the Nerds. Really looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments as well. We'll be back next weekend to talk about the next episode of King of the Nerds. Any parting thoughts about this episode?
Good riddance, Todd. I don't know.
Man.
May him make the Clockwork King and Chicken Panda rest up there in the great Nirvana in the sky.
Mark, is there a website set up to get Todd a date?
No, sadly no. But if you want to hit him up on Twitter, I'm pretty sure he's willing. He's 60-40, if I remember right.
Yeah.
That would be a very amusing kind of like consolation prize for the losers of Kim. Yeah. Of King of the Nerds is like, you know, here's a dating website subscription for you.
There you go.
They do a thing on Spotify where they're releasing like playlists from the eliminated contestants. So I guess that's the consolation prize.
All right. Do we have an update on how Thomas did with the dates?
I didn't watch his. I know he did an interview with AfterBuzz TV. I did not see.
Oh, well, then he's on his way.
Yeah, I didn't see. I mean, clearly. Really, he's
making moves.
Yeah, I mean, I have not heard feedback from people who applied directly through the Girlfriend for Thomas website, but I'm sure that we'll get some data on this soon.
Okay. All right. And hopefully Thomas gets some dates on this soon. There you go.
Gollum will like dates.
Yeah. All right, guys. Great job again. Follow these guys on Twitter. Brendan is at Brendan Noel on Twitter. Is I have that right?
At Brendan D.
Noel. D. Noel. And then at, what do you want to get? Dawn's Bread?
Yes, Dawn's Bread.
All right, there you go. I'm at Rob Sesternino. Looking forward to seeing what you guys have to say in the comments. We'll talk to you guys next week. Take care. Bye. Now that the show's over, don't forget to go to naturebox.com and sign up to get your free sampler box of great tasting, wholesome snacks. Forget the vending machine. Start snacking smarter with delicious treats like barbecue kettle kernels. Go to naturebox.com/RHAP. That's naturebox.com/RHAP.